With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Man, it's been a crazy week this week. Something's happened literally every day. I fully anticipate, before we get off the air, us to get some more news on this, because it's just been that kind of a week. Yeah. Let's go back and just revisit everything that's happened. We went off the air on Friday. The news broke that Brian Gain had been fired. So on Monday, it was actually technically our second crack at talking about this, because you came in on Friday to talk about it. I did a special show on Saturday, but as far as the loopholes in this audience from 10 to 2, it was our first chance to weigh in on Brian Gain's firing. John McClain, he was on the station over the weekend. What the hell happened with Brian Gain? Here's John McClain talking about that.
I think it was an erosion, that an erosion takes place over a long period. Nothing. I think that they didn't. I don't think Cal McNair went in before the offseason program thinking, I'm going to fire Brian. No, he that wasn't the case at all.
Okay, that's John McClain and what he had to say. It said it was an erosion. That was on Monday. So we were sitting here shuffling, wondering what the hell happened with Brian Gain. That was what the speculation was. We were talking about it. Mm-hmm. We were wondering what happened. We thought maybe it was between he and Bill O'Brien. We thought maybe it was between he and Cal McNair. We thought maybe there was something else that happened. But that was what happened on Monday, is that news right there.
It was still just kind of shock mode for everybody. And as you mentioned, after the news broke, I came back in Friday night and talked about it and was still just trying to process everything and still trying to figure out why he got fired, where the breakdown was, et cetera. So that's Monday, and you're thinking, all right, so it'll kind of be a slow process. You know, you're already hearing things about Caserio, and we'll see where it goes from here.
And Monday, my anticipation was Bill O'Brien. He's going to meet with the media on Tuesday at 1 o'clock, which is what we were building to. So we came into work on Tuesday. We were wondering, what the hell is Bill O'Brien going to say? We haven't heard from any members of the Houston Texans. He went up there and basically took a back seat to Cal McNair and basically insinuated that this was Cal McNair's decision. This was an organizational decision. But amidst that press conference, our guy, not really our guy, but Brian T. Smith. I don't know why I said he was our guy. Brian T. Smith, he's my guy when he goes to a press conference, because he asks the questions that need to be asked. But Brian T. Smith was the first one to bring this to Bill O'Brien's attention, and he hinted that maybe, because of all the reports that had come out about Jack Easterby, the most powerful man at NRG, speaking with Nick Caserio, the man that it looks like the Texans want to be their next GM, because of that ring ceremony on Thursday. Good Lord, John, you okay there? You drunk or what?
No, not yet. I accidentally hit the microphone with my
cup. What the hell is wrong with you?
Boing.
But he insinuated that maybe there was some tampering going on. This is Brian T. Smith grilling Bill O'Brien and asking him the question, have you talked to Nick Caserio about being the GM of the Texans?
I would say that, the answer to that is no. I mean, relative to contact about anything having to do with the Houston Texans, no.
Pretty specific. In fact, the most specific answer he gave the entire afternoon, the entire week, when it came to this.
So we reacted to Bill O'Brien and what he had to say about this whole thing. He went up there the next day. We thought that things were kind of winding down. We were just anticipating and waiting for Nick Caserio to be granted permission to speak with the Houston Texans or meet with the Houston Texans or not be able to. And then the news dropped that tampering charges had been filed. So we began wondering what exactly that meant. Does it mean that they're not going to get Nick Caserio? Does it mean that they are going to get Nick Caserio? We slept at it on Wednesday. We came in on Thursday and we asked Ben Volen straight up, Ben, what is up with these tampering charges from the New England Patriots, the team you cover for the Boston Globe?
I was surprised. It shows that maybe things aren't so rosy between the Texans and the Patriots when we thought, because of the Bill O'Brien connection and Jack Easterby, who had just been here for 6 years, we always thought these teams were on great terms. And, you know, I wonder if it's more the Easterby side of things. I know Belichick really liked him and wanted him back, but I'm not sure where his relationship with Easterby, that is, with the Kraft family. And so I think the fact that he was involved at that ring ceremony, talking to Casario, it's getting a little catty between the Patriots and the Texans.
And it only figures to get more so. So in the span of 4 days, like if you're looking at the storyline here, it went from Brian Gain getting fired to the Texans and Patriots are in a fight over the next general manager, and it's going to get even uglier.
That's what they said. And according to Ian Rappaport yesterday on the NFL Network, when we came in today, we wondered, is it going to go from investigation into tampering to negotiation for some sort of compensation for Nick Casario to come to the Houston Texans? Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network said, Texans ain't backing down from the evil dynasty.
Here's a couple things we need to know, though. First of all, the Texans are digging in. They're not giving in. They're digging in. They're not abandoning their pursuit of Casario. They still want him, so expect this to be ongoing. Two, there is a way to solve this potentially with draft pick compensation, because it's hard to imagine Andrew Casario going back to New England after they filed tampering charges for a team trying to hire him. This may end up coming to kind of fruition with draft picks going either way and the Texans getting a new GM.
You know, that one part that he said there about, him not being able to go back to New England after tampering, he went back to New England after they blocked his interview last time. So I think that could be ironed up out, and that's the one worry I have, that this somehow ends up with Casario back in New England. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're making a deal, and I think that deal's going to happen sooner rather than later.
I think it's going to happen, too. I think it's going to happen maybe today, maybe over the weekend. It's going to be an absolute done deal, but this is something else I wonder, and it's been a crazy week. I need to pop something open, Figgy. We need to go have a couple beers after the show. Maybe. Not sure that's good for my cold, but, you know, it's a weekend. I got a couple extra days to rest. It is what it is. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Leading into the weekend, happy Father's Day, by the way, to all the fathers.
What's the best advice your dad ever gave you?
Let's get into that at 120. What the best advice?
Homework assignment, loopholes. Best advice your dad ever gave you.
713-572-4610 to get in on that.
If you didn't have your dad, your mom.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, way to make it awkward, Lopez. But
you mean real?
Yeah, well, true. Very, very true. But the other thing that I wonder about this whole thing, as it unfolds, is we know that Bill O'Brien can be a little bit hard-headed. Admittedly so, right?
Yes.
He can be hard to work with based on the evidence that we have from Bill O'Brien.
Short-tempered. His nickname from the New England days has been Teapot, because he's about to boil over.
People still use teapots.
Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people still use teapots.
Okay.
I microwave my tea.
Yeah, that's probably the way to go.
Yeah,
I do that as well. But my question is this. Nick Casario likes Bill O'Brien, but the only, outside of just a couple conversations or whatever, however their friendship is, these two guys only worked together when B.O.B. was a position coach, and then he was an offensive coordinator. Correct?
Correct.
So is it possible that as time has gone on, nearly a decade, and Bill O'Brien has been a NFL head coach for 5 years, that Nick Casario, and again, this is an assumption that Nick Casario comes to the Houston Texans. If Nick Casario comes here, is it possible that maybe he doesn't like Bill O'Brien in this role, in his new role, as much as he did in New England with his old role? Because people change. Is that a possibility? And not only is it a possibility, do you think it'll be a reality?
It depends on the record. You know, the one thing about Bill O'Brien right now, no matter where you fall with power or influence or whatever word you want to use, is if he loses and loses big this year, it could be his last year. Probably will be his last year. If they start 2-5 or whatever, and they end up out of the playoffs after all the changes they've made, after all the things they've done for Bill O'Brien and working on his third general manager, I could easily see this being his last year. Let's say he goes, they duplicate exactly what they did this year. Win the division or at least make the playoffs out in the first round. Then what do you do? I think that's when the scenario that you're laying out comes into play. Because we all know that Cal McNair tasked Jack Easterby to look at the entire football operation, make some recommendations, and it seems that the biggest recommendation he made was fire Brian Gain. Well, now Nick Caserio is the general manager, you know, ostensibly the guy in charge of Bill O'Brien, okay? Even though I think Jack Easterby has a lot of power, I think that's the way it's going to sound when they figure it out, I mean, when they announce it. If they go and they do the exact same thing that they've done repeatedly under Bill O'Brien, that's when Caserio is going to say, can we get there from here with Bill O'Brien? And if the answer is no, even then he could get fired.
And I mean, I think even if Bill O'Brien wins the division and then doesn't take that next step, I think that's something that you really got to look at, because when you get in a situation where you're stagnant and it's almost like you're on a treadmill, you can say on one hand, yes, this guy's having success, and you can cite division titles, you can cite winning seasons, you can do that. But what's stopping you from making that next step? And the example I'll use is the Toronto Raptors yesterday. Toronto Raptors won the NBA championship.
Mm-hmm.
They just fired the coach of the year this past offseason. Like, Dwayne Casey had made the playoffs 5 straight years. He was there for 7. He actually made it 6 straight. But in 5 straight seasons, he just couldn't get over that hump. And they couldn't get over that hump. And obviously, they went all in on Kawhi Leonard, which was the big decision. But they went and got a new coach. And they took that next step. A lot of times, as an organization, if you're not making progress, tangible progress, a lot of times you just sometimes just have to cut bait. And I know a lot of people will say, well, Bill O'Brien, if you fired him, he'd get a job.
I don't care.
The next couple of days. Guess who else did? Dwayne Casey did. He's the coach of the Pistons. It didn't take long, but you know what? They sat there and they said, you know what? We're not satisfied with this regular season success. We're going to take that next step. And they made the move, and now they're NBA champions.
The one thing, the one place we are, we just laid out the Friday to Friday events that have happened. In 1 week's time, one thing that we know now is we're no longer in a situation with this team where we can say, oh, that'll never happen. If somebody's texting, oh, they would never fire Bill O'Brien if he makes the playoffs again. Oh, no? Oh, really? Why? Because they just fired their general manager 17 months into his job. So the one thing that has happened, I think it's a positive thing, is kind of what you're talking about. They're not afraid to take that risk to, quote, go for it like the Raptors did. The Raptors are just literally won a world championship last night based on firing a coach that was a playoff coach and successful and coach of the year and trading for a guy in Kawhi Leonard that got you there. That guy. They made a bold, bold move. You would have never said that about the Texans last Friday. You can today.
Wouldn't surprise me.
You can today.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. I mean, that was a very bold Brian Gain-esque move. And we're not predicting a Super Bowl for the Houston Texans, but if they're willing to make bold moves like they did with Brian Gain, you got to think that mindset's not just going to change as the next GM comes here. But what are the guys? Who are the guys? We're talking about Bill O'Brien potentially changing, you know, from his time in New England to now with the Texans. Who are the guys that, over the course of your 3-decade-long career covering sports, that you saw make the biggest changes, maybe personality-wise, or maybe just in any way, shape, or form? Who are the guys that stick out the most to you?
I think, a lot just immediately jumped to mind, and most of them were not in a bad way. Most of them were in a good way. The one that absolutely positively I always go back to is and it's been a while, but Larry Bird. When Larry Bird came into the league, and it was before my time covering the league, but you know, I heard the stories, and then I experienced some moments with Larry Bird in terms of covering him and interviewing him, etc. When he came into the league, he wouldn't even talk. He wouldn't even look up. He was so introverted. It was incredible. And then he became probably one of the greatest, you know, personalities and coach quotes in the entire league. Another one that came to mind, interpreted how you will, good, bad, indifferent, Arian Foster. Arian Foster, when he came to the Texans, was the undrafted, eager, kind of quiet, running back. All of a sudden, he becomes, you know, he's talking in accents and doing all kinds of crazy stuff publicly. Arian Foster was one. I'm trying to think of an example of a guy who's like, you know, turned like who's that? The guy from Major League, Dorn, the shortstop, turned into like real
Roger
Eric
Dorn.
Roger Dorn,
he was a third baseman, by the
was
way.
Was he third baseman?
Yeah, know your classics.
I forget.
Know your classics.
You know, turned into like a real arrogant, money got to him kind of guy.
You know who I've seen change a lot?
Who?
Kevin Durant.
Oh, that's a good example.
I mean,
that's
KD,
a real good example.
This is a guy who, when he was a rookie in the NBA in Seattle, he lived with his mom, and kids used to come over and play Xbox with him. Like, mm-hmm. he was one of those guys. He was the guy, we saw his MVP press conference, you the real MVP, mom, crying.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he became a guy who needed kind of burner accounts, had the thin skin. I think he changed a little bit. I just wonder what B.O.B. is like now compared to what
Mario
he was
Mario Williams
with him.
Changed.
Mario Williams did?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Got a little more flashy?
He got a little bit of that. Yeah, a little bit of that Durant kind of...
Willie Beeman?
Arrogance a little bit. He was a pretty humble guy. I remember interviewing him in his rookie years, next first couple of years here. Seemed to be... He was a little quiet, but you could tell he was down to earth, you know, and then he got a little bit into that. But who wouldn't? I mean, a lot of guys do.
Start feeling yourself, especially when everyone was doubting you for a long time. Probably a little bit of a chip on your shoulder.
You got beaten down a little bit publicly.
I'm sure. 713-572-4610. Let's go to Frank. Frank, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, John.
Yes, sir.
You know, when you were saying this a few minutes ago about Toronto made a change with the coaching staff and everything, and by Dwayne Casey being the coach of the year, you know that this is the second time that didn't happen. You know that, right?
Well, it's probably more than once, more than two. But which other one are you thinking of?
The Rockets
with Tom Janovich.
When Tom Janovich took over, the coach before him, he was coach of the year.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
Dick Cheney, what's his name? Cheney.
Yeah, you're right.
What's his name?
No.
But now, yeah, okay, I'm through with that, but I just want to say this here, though. As I look back at New England, and I know y'all done got off this, but I called earlier and I got disconnected.
Go ahead, man.
As I look back at New England, though, I don't see New England want to pay no players. The amount of money that if J.J. Wynn, Defensive Player of the Year award this year here, how they going to keep him? Because New England don't do that there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're asking for too much money, they can really let you go.
No. He's right on Rudy Tomjanovich. You could argue Steve Kerr. I mean, Mark Jackson had success, you know, in Golden State.
Come on,
he had success.
Come on, dude.
He had success. I'm not saying he was coach of the year.
Dude, come on, John.
What was his record?
He was okay.
Come on, that's success.
Come on, man. Lamont, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
51-31 is last year.
You guys was talking about people that changed, and I'm not saying that this is for the worst, but the one change that that goes overseen is J.J. Watt. I remember when that dude was drafted, he was quiet as soon as went crazy in that Cincinnati Bengals. J.J. Watt became something totally – you just go back and look at that season. You didn't hear a word from J.J. Watt. Now you see J.J. Watt all over the place in HEB and all types of things.
Selfies.
I want to ask you guys one question. Which one was more surprising to you? And this may be a little bit dated for you, Landry. But Jimmy Johnson or Brian Gaines?
Come on, bro.
Because Jimmy Johnson was just coming off of a Super Bowl and got fired.
Come on, I've been watching sports since before my parents met, man. I'm telling you, I'll give you a Jimmy Johnson history lesson. Game was more surprising, and let me tell you why. Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones were battling in the media in 95 or in 93 before that whole thing started happening. And with Jacksonville coming into the NFL, there were rumors that Jimmy Johnson, who liked to fish, would be the coach in Jacksonville. So there was at least smoke there. Like, we saw the smoke between Jimmy and Jerry. And then it came full circle when Jerry Jones was in the hotel bar at the owners meeting, and he popped off to Ed Werder and said that 500 coaches could win a Super Bowl here. But they were going back and forth. If you go back and look,
and proved it because Switzer did.
There were all kinds of interviews and smoke with Jimmy and Jerry, and were starting to butt heads.
The bigger surprise in Dallas, if you're talking about Dallas, is just firing Tom Landry.
Yeah,
that came out of nowhere.
And the way he did it. Jerry just came in there and straight up just fired him. But there was actually some smoke with Jerry and Jimmy. If you just go back and look, there's some awkward-ass interviews. If you just look up Bob Costas and Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones, There was all kinds of drama. I was right in the mix. That was a very, very big deal. I remember Michael Irvin throwing the trash can after it happened at the media.
Yeah.
It was going down for a while. You could kind of see that coming and see that not ending well.
Texter says Antonio Brown. That's another really good one.
Antonio Brown changed a little bit. Yeah, he went.
Changed a lot.
A lot of times it depends on draft stock. You earn it, and then all of a sudden you think you earn the right. I'd say Willie Beeman's up there, too. I don't know if you get that reference, but Willie Beeman, he changed quite a bit.
1 inch.
They call me Willie Beeman. I got the women. Can't say that. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Sports Radio 610. The Browns have apparent drama in the locker room, and it surrounds the quarterback, Baker Mayfield. And an AFC South team gets put on blast by two of their best players. You'll hear them next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.